you going to wear the ribbon?
No, never.
But I'm wearing the ribbon. He's wearing the ribbon. We are all wearing the ribbon. So why aren't you going to wear the ribbon?
This is America. I don't have to wear anything I don't want to wear.
Stop yelling at me.
You have fought valiantly.
My God.
Anyway.
Oops. Eat your heart out.
Please clap.
No more comments.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
Seems a bit obscure. In testimony today, Trump's attorney, Keith Davidson, as they were describing Michael Cohen, the droopy-eyed, forlorn lawyer who went to prison.
And droopy loops.
Seems to have scarred him, but he was compared to, and I got to say, did you see the movie Up?
Yeah, with the balloons in the house.
Didn't it depress the hell out of you?
I cried, but that doesn't mean it was
no,
a bad cry.
No, I mean the first part where he lives a life and then his wife dies.
It's beautiful. I'm beautifully sad and tragic.
I barely remember the dog. Okay, because I was wondering, because they compared. I think this is kind of obscure because I can barely remember the movie except for the depression and the balloon. But they compared Michael Cohen to the dog, to the excitable dog that got distracted by squirrels.
Beep.
Hi there.
Did that dog just say hi there?
Oh yes.
Bruh.
My name is Doug. I have just met you, and I...
And he had that bark conversion collar or whatever. But anyway, we went there.
My name is Doug. I have just met you, and Doug. I love you. My master made me this collar. He is a good and smart master, and he made me this collar so that I may talk. Squirrel!
Okay, they nailed that. And stuff. But anyway, so why are they saying that about poor Cohen? Well, they did.
It essentially gives the impression that no one likes Michael Cohen. One witness saying the moral of the story is no one wanted to talk to Cohen. Davidson comparing him to the excitable dog character in the animated movie Up, constantly distracted by random things, particularly squirrels.
Because that's funny, because they are. But and then they put up a picture next to this quote, a picture of Cohen that absolutely sells it, and it, like, he's at his most droopy dog. His mouth is downturning at the corners and all that. It's pretty funny. So the testimony by Trump's attorney Keith Davidson, and you just have to use your imagination because I don't need to explain why I'm okay. This is what the attorney said about Cohen, quote, about Trump's opinion on Cohen. Quote, he said something to the effect of, son of God, can you blanking believe I'm not going to Washington? I've got to save that guy's ASS, which spells ass, so many times you don't even know. That was Trump talking about Michael Cohen and stuff. But so anyway, David Dennison, when Trump signed a check, it was David Dennison. That was his nom de plume or nom de sex or whatever.
Did you think the alliteration was going to make it so it was indecipherable who was actually signing the check?
I don't know, Stormy. And by the way, Greg's new name is Stormy.
Thanks.
Because he had to be on the account as David Dennison. And so anyway... Trump probably looking at another kid. It's $1,000 a day, but no matter if it was a penny a day, the guy's a billionaire because he doesn't like losing money and unnecessary money and all. And so that's why they're thinking that will give him discipline. It's like, where have you been since 2016? Do you honestly think that anything is going to keep the guy quiet? I mean, that's why his show was number one for 4 years.
Let's try to crack the code, though, because my kids are going through a Beatles phase right now, and I love it because I'm a huge Beatles nut. But the song Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, everybody thought it was about LSD. It wasn't, but because the letters spelled out Lucy Sky Diamonds, LSD, so people thought there was a hidden message there. The double D.
Well, then what the hell is it about?
John Lennon's kid came home with a drawing, and he said, "What's that?" And he said, "Oh, that's Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds." And he wrote a song about it. So it had a sweet origination. But in terms of Trump signing the checks double D, what do you insinuate from that?
Well, what do you think?
Is that a stretch,
no.
so to speak?
I think it would pass for clever. I have a feeling that now that people have heard the context, that maybe this morning's morning montage needs to be played one more time.
So nice we have to hear it twice.
Yeah. So ready, hit it.
Commence.
Look at these people. They're climbing through the bushes to try and crowd the staircase. You see a whole bunch of people on the staircase with umbrellas extended all the way out here. Now you see more projectiles being thrown, and it looks like...
You know what I did not do? I did not correct the 605 mistake. I will do it live, courtesy of Adobe Audition. There.
Editing on the fly.
Yeah, that's right. Turns out you have to hit stop, not pause. Okay, and now back to our normally technically perfect, and prophetic morning montage.
How do the Democrats, how do all of us on that side say January 6th was wrong if you can have the same pictures going on college campuses?
Good Lord, don't make
you
a parallel with January 6th.
Good angle. Let's push all the way in there.
Does President Biden want his administration to find out who is funding some of these protests?
And I'll go there. Cutter?
AM 770 KTH back, and we've covered all that so far. I mean, it's been a lot of show. You know, Adobe's on the east side of the Aurora Bridge on the North Bank.
Okay.
Because I had a friend that worked there at a time when I don't know what it was, but people were jumping from the north end on the east side, and they were landing on cars of employees.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, look down, folks. If you don't see water, then you haven't walked far enough on 99. And in fact, there have been people that have survived that fall. That ain't the Golden Gate Bridge or the Tacoma Narrows even. But anyway, just fun fact, Adobe's right there. But they don't have like a clearance store with computer software. It doesn't need to get returned because of wear or whatever. But fun fact, I do like their software. I did an amazingly illegal thing for $40. I got every published piece of software they make on one CD, and then I had a program that could generate what's called a crack, the authorization code that you get with a CD if you buy software like that. It came with that program.
And all this is above board?
No, it was Iraq.
Right to jail.
It was, and that's the thing. I bought about $300. I mean, Adobe Premiere, Photoshop, all the different levels of Photoshop, all the add-ons, plus Audition, the sound thing that you just heard me using effortlessly live. For like $30. And at the time it made sense. I'm like, well, I mean, I'm here to do war. And so
thanks, Bin Laden.
I may as well do war on Adobe or something that made equal nonsense. But luckily for me, though, I destroyed it. And I do not ever, I'd never at home use pirated software, because that's bad. I'm not a bad person. And so looking for a PC laptop. A Chromebook, I think they're convenient. They're great for kids, but they are not they're not Windows. They're Android or whatever. And
why don't you honor the memory of Steve Jobs and get like a $13,000 MacBook Pro?
Well, you know what? Because I have access to tax-free America, I could. But what would be your dream Apple laptop? The thing is, though, I don't know. I don't know much. I forgot everything about that operating system.
Oh, it's just the greatest, and it's very intuitive. I would definitely go with the MacBook Pro, although, again, they are so stinking expensive. But their M2 or M3 chips are just like lightning fast. The graphics processor, and I'm acting like I know what I'm talking about, but I really don't. That would be my dream.
But if I don't
computer.
Know the software, what good is it?
You learn it so quick.
Do you?
But you're pretty integrated with all things Android and Windows. And
yeah. I do have
Microsoft.
One of that Apple Cube or whatever that thing is, with the really just a, insert bad word here, monitor. You know, that minimalist.
Right, yep.
I like that thing. And that was the last big tax-free item, screw you, Inslee, I got from from Pew Pew Land on that. Do I want to take this? I've got Biden. He just spoke. I don't know.
Big time.
He mumbled about something. And anyway, go take it away, mumbly McShuffle.
Well, that's what they're doing. They are laying the foundation for...
Toss to the White House.
The star witness.
Oh, Jose, toss to the White House.
I hate to interrupt you, okay. But President Biden is about to speak. Let's go to the White House. The Roosevelt Room.
What's going on?
True international
on
depression.
Is here. We've all seen the images. And they put to the test two fundamental American principles. Excuse me.
Oh, guess what? He's going to cough. This is the promised statement where he gets tough on these hippies and their love of being a liberal Democrat and Gaza, the Satan's couple of reelect Biden 2024. Go on.
The first is the right to free speech and for people to peacefully assemble and make their voices heard.
Hmm.
The second...
So you read that.
...is the rule of law. Both must be upheld. We are not an authoritarian nation where we silence people or squash dissent. The American people are heard. In fact, peaceful protest is in the best tradition of how Americans respond to consequential issues.
Seen any lately?
But... Neither are we a lawless country. We're a civil society, and order must prevail. Throughout our history, we've often faced moments like this because we are a big, diverse, free-thinking, and freedom-loving nation.
Okay,
these hippie weirdos.
I rewound into this. I don't know what he's going to say, but knowing what they, you know, salted the tip jar with on Morning Joe this morning, he's going to invoke January 6th.
You feel it coming, huh?
Yes,
You're calling your shot.
I know it's coming because he made that phone call and spoke directly with Joe himself. And Joe delivered. Joe said Cotter. So that's going to be, Joe Scarborough, Joseph Robinette Biden. His workaround is going to be, besides, it's not our fault. Cotter did this, but that's a long shot. I'm saying 8-1 on that one, but 2-1.
I think Charlottesville. I think he's going Charlottesville.
Yeah.
That's the bag of tricks, greatest hits, you know, whatever you want to call it.
Good people on both sides.
In moments like this, there are always those who rush in to score political points. But this isn't a moment for politics.
Yeah.
It's a moment for clarity. So let me be clear.
Bo died in Iraq.
Peaceful protest in America.
Still good?
Violent protest is not protected. Peaceful protest is. It's against the law when violence occurs. Destroying property is not a peaceful protest.
It's against it.
It's against the law.
Hey! I did not know
vandalism,
that.
Vandalism, trespassing, breaking windows, shutting down campuses, forcing the cancellation of classes and graduations.
Wow. How about the smell on those hippies? Say something.
None of this is a peaceful protest. Threatening people, intimidating people, instilling fear in people is not a peaceful protest. It's against the law. Dissent is essential to democracy, but dissent must never lead to disorder or to denying the rights of others so students can finish the semester and their college education. Look, it's basically a matter of fairness. It's a matter of what's right.
Say MAGA.
There's the right to protest, but not the right to cause chaos. People have the right to get an education, the right to get a degree, the right to walk across the campus safely without fear of being attacked. Let's be clear about this as well. There should be no place on any campus, no place in America for anti-Semitism or threats of violence against Jewish students. There is no place for hate speech or violence of any kind, whether it's anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, or discrimination against Arab Americans or Palestinian Americans.
Okay, gotta slip in the Islamophobia, though I haven't heard of a bit of it. But they have to do that. By the way, he had left mouth corner spittle that he's so practiced, he didn't even notice it.
Nixon-esque.
Yeah, and he wiped the spittle with his left hand. So do not shake his left hand.
It's simply wrong. There's no place for racism in America. It's all wrong. It's un-American. I understand people have strong feelings and deep convictions. In America, we respect the right and protect the right for them to express that. But it doesn't mean anything goes. It needs to be done without violence, without destruction, without hate, and within the law. You know, make no mistake, as president, I will always defend free speech. and I will always be just as strong in standing up for the rule of law. That's my responsibility to you, the American people, my obligation to the Constitution. Thank you very much.
Mr. President,
you should have like a little mini Marine One that starts making noise or something at that point.
We were both wrong. He didn't invoke any.
He did not. But he's talking about his law and order and...
Over here, they're the ones who ran off and told y'all I was recording right there. These are the ones that ran off.
Hey, get him, guys. He's recording at the campus. Oh, my God. He has a phone and he's practicing his First Amendment rights.
Says the guy that was confronted by white people, white liberal people, who didn't like a black man speaking his mind in UCLA yesterday. But... anyway, I hope he's happy about the fact that those stinky whiteys are now off his campus and stuff. So I don't quite get it. That wasn't exactly a full-throated endorsement of law enforcement, what they did from Columbia University to UCLA last night. And so they did drag out the cops to talk about what they did. And I like this guy. This is a chief chef of NYPD talking about how they had sort of a hybrid hostage rescue slash clean the dirty hippies out of the administration building approach to cleaning the dirty hippies out of the Hamilton building, which, as they found out, and if you can see, find those pictures, they were trashed at the direction of a professional agitator who said, destroy the cameras, and there might be cameras in the wall. And she's been profiled now in Washington Post and New York Times, but she's a professional Antifa person that leaves Texas and comes to Manhattan and teaches people how to, when they take over the building, how to do excrement in the waste paper basket or something. I mean, she's so old, she could have been who John Wayne was talking about or something. But here's Chief Chef, C-H-E-F-F.
Those are outsiders. We don't know. They're autonomous. Those weren't students that took over the building. Can you tell when you go in who the student is and who the outside agitator is?
From doing this a long time, just from eyesight, yes, you can. When you're dressed in all black with a black scarf, I'm not sure if that's a chemistry student.
I mean, here's the thing. It's never going to be. It's not like France, where they banned the hijab from schools. In America, we roll our eyes at that. You don't even try. You can't do that. A kid can wear an anti-American T-shirt to school, but if they wear the ask me about my Second Amendment rights or something, they will be detained by the principal. But you can't ban a thing. You can't ban a headscarf or whatever. But I would ban hiding your identity. I mean, I don't know what the, you know, by the same authority that the state of Oregon, state of Washington, state of California can tell a woman to take her hijab off or show me your face and don't get Iranian on me, by whatever authority that is, so that you look like the person I just pulled over driving the car. That's kind of the, I think the issue was out of Florida. A woman wanted to cover her face with a chador and have that be her driver's license photo, her official state photo. And it went all the way to a court, some lawyer thing, and they said you have to resemble the person behind the wheel or else there's no point in having one. And I think, but I would say at College O'Brien, what's the point of showing me? You're covering your face now. Now you're showing me an ID of you taken where, in Gabriel's waiting room. I don't get that. But that, you know, that's what people say. You're thoughtful, Brian. You sure are thoughtful. You know what my and also Brian's knowledge of male knowledge podcast. I think I just invented it. Greg, you know women and birthdays kind of a big deal. You're married.
That's in the Bible.
You're married to one.
Yeah, that's the rumor.
And what are we up to now? Three kids?
Yeah, I'm up to three. Yeah.
Here's my advice to all you young men who haven't felt the warm touch of a woman's soft touch.
Here we go.
I mean, long-term marriage or even long-term dating. You're 17, you're 18. You finally got Mary Jo Science Basement to pay attention to you. And you think that Big Bang is a dating guide. It's not. It's a show about geeks that are geeks who dorks make fun of. When a woman has a birthday coming up and there's a zero at the end of the number, that's a big deal. Put a two, put a three. Wow. Put a four, put a five. When there's a zero after the first digit, treat it like the anniversary of some big deal or whatever. That's a big deal. And it doesn't help that you roll your eyes and go, it's just a number. To us, it is. Okay. To them, it's a big deal. And you treat it really seriously. There's my free advice. Take that. Take that free advice, man.
We're going to ask you.
You don't know what Royce Quad is, part of UCLA? As a student, that's what we do. We walk around our school, bro.
You didn't fly in here.
Right. Did I fly in here?
We're politely asking you to
And I'm politely
asking. By the way, I love that his daughter chimes in at the querying white liberal guy and has to give dad that comedy line. We didn't fly in here, so good for you, Dad.
Impressed.
You don't know what Royce Quad is, part of UCLA? As a student, that's what we do. We walk around our school, bro.
You didn't fly in here.
Right. Did I fly in here?
We're politely asking you to
And I'm politely
outside.
Asking you to step outside. I'm a student here, are you?
No, you've caught him.
Work for UCLA? Because I know Jasmine Rush, the dean of students, would like to know why you're putting your hand in one of her students' faces.
That's great.
So we're going to have to get you identified, buddy. For harassing an African-American student at school. What, is the school a little too integrated for you? What, you trying to segregate? You trying to resegregate the school or something? Look at these white liberals, bro. Look at these cosplayers. White liberals, white libs cosplaying as the oppressed, stopping the...
If those guys, I'd be begging for forgiveness. He's there with his four-year-old African-American daughter, and he's saying that to them, and he's right. And they didn't fly in there. AM 770 KTTH. Is that a cover of The Seeker? That's terrible.
I think it's the real deal. It just took out the lead guitar on the version that I grabbed.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because that has a weird processing on it.
I was just trying to highlight John Entwistle's part a little more.
Entwistle.
Entwistle.
Yeah, you got to hear that one. What is the... I won't get to give what I'm after. Oh, Live at Leeds.
Good.
Yeah. Yes. Is that what that's from?
No.
Oh, okay. That's a great album.
Is that the show where he's wearing like the skeleton bodysuit?
I don't know if it was filmed, but I mean the album and Keith Moon is sitting on a backwards stage chair and it's stenciled, not to be taken away.
Mm.
And he OD'd, of course, like 6 months later. But, well, let's check the texting.
Right now?
Yeah, right now.
Give me two shakes of a lamb's tail.
Wink, wink. Where'd the guy go now? He says the guy at UCLA was that guy at UCLA with his daughter wearing a cape. He may as well have been, I say. So let me get to him again. So here's a conservative black man with his four-year-old daughter at UCLA trying to walk through a sea of liberal white people with privilege, telling him, confront the one. I love the first confrontation is that he's an agitator because these bit of power liberal Antifa women saw him, and he's probably wearing like a burn this flag American flag T-shirt or something, but he's not outwardly pro Gaza, and he has a child. And so, and then he tells them who they are.
So I had to work pretty hard. Yeah, I got into UCLA, 9% acceptance rate, so I can go where I want on this campus. Yeah.
Who's this guy?
Yeah, a student. I'm a student at UCLA. My name is Milagro Jones. Where are you?
How did you get in?
I walked in. I'm a student at UCLA. I just said that.
We're going to ask you to. You don't know what Royce Quad is part of UCLA? As a student, that's what we do. We walk around our school, bro.
Maybe they saw that on Office Space or something. Yeah, we're going to ask you to leave. And the implication there is that, well, look at these guys that are bigger than me, and they will be angry at my command, but we're going to ask you to leave.
What would you say you do here?
Did I fly in here?
Burn.
And I'm politely.
You got burned by a 4-year-old there, Antifa dude.
Asking you to step outside. I'm a student here, are you? Do you work for UCLA? Because I know Jasmine Rush, the dean of students, would like to know why you're putting your hand in one of her students' faces.
And LASD is actually, Los Angeles Sheriff's Department is trying to provide that number because, believe it or not, MSNBC asked, are these outsiders or what? Because they were finally given clearance today to say Cotter on the air, and that may as well be the White House saying.
That's great. So we're going to have to get you identified, buddy, for harassing an African-American student at school. What, is the school a little too integrated for you? What, you trying to segregate? You trying to resegregate the school or something?
You know why we're here?
Look at these white liberals, bro. Look at these cosplayers. White liberals, white libs cosplaying as the oppressed, stopping an African-American student from accessing his school. Nothing new.
God, that's perfect. Look at these white cosplayers cosplaying as the oppressed. And he's right. That's what they're all doing. They're representing Gaza. They're bearing their grievance because Gaza can't, because they're busy genociding or getting genocided or whatever thing they made up this time.
Text from the 346, I think the administration is just acknowledging Qatar's role to deflect from the real problem. Cultural Marxism captured academia decades ago. American youth are being indoctrinated into that ideology. Every day they won't admit to that, so it's easier to blame an outside boogeyman, Brian.
Yep. I don't quite get this, but Andy in the 619 says, pretty sure that picture is on the back of Who You Are. Huh?
Oh, Who's Next? They're talking about the Who's album, the record. The last one Keith Moon appeared on.
Is he sure? I thought it was Live at Leeds.
And you know...
Well, they're all on the stage.
I have a trivial factoid about that album cover from The Who, the last one Keith Moon played on. They turned the chair around to cover Keith Moon's belly because he had gained a lot of weight at the time. He was not in great shape.
The precursor is these uninformed... Oh, these uninformed... asshats. You are correct. It's a festival to them. You've got guys breaking out their new REI tents and trying to get girls with the little cooking stoves and how self-sufficient they are on campus lawn. Sick to my stomach. And you know what? That's part of the dynamic is the say whatever makes her think I'm cooler. And because you can take the politics out of the boy, but you can't take the boy out of the politics. We saw it here at WTO. I saw it in Portland in college. At the end of the day, even the hippies like to make more hippies. And if it makes the liberal, the hot liberal Reed College sophomore, like maybe dig you and want to go hit a new McMenamins and have some kale bacon or whatever they do, you say it. You say it. You say it. Listen.
Don't spray it.
I've been there. I've done that. Okay? You say what it takes. Sometimes you get to say it to people in Idaho, and it's genuine. You go, why me? I delight in Hornady Red Tip critical defense, but not in the range. you say things like that that get people in Idaho interested and move in a little closer.
Text from the 425.
Which is true, by the way. That's expensive ammo, the critical defense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway.
Brian, I love how Biden waits to speak until after the two largest camps have been broken up. He was really biding his time on this issue. From the 425, so we're supposed to believe these are paid agitators, but January 6th did not have paid agitators in that crowd.
Hello, fellow kids. And you can't even say that on MSNBC. You can't even. There's a pretty thorough deconstruction of that's been going on ever since of like how do undercover Homeland Security people dress, and it's like, well, dockers. Nylon riggers belt, polo shirt tucked in, but the collar popped up, and all, it's a weird dress code, and they can be spotted a mile away, and let me just tell you this: if you think you're going to get together and you arrange it online to talk about the next substation you're going to blow on Thanksgiving Day, one of you will be a Fed. Okay, it's that predictable. I'm just saying.
Text from the 714 BNG. If you want to stop these idiot kids, there's an easy way. When you arrest one,
firehose,
confiscate their phone for evidence of trespass. Watch how fast this dies down. Even if they get released right away, they're still in digital jail. No phone, no Instagram, no virtue signaling online. No reason to be there. It'll work for a while until Qatar buys them all prepaid phones.
And I gotta say, in the fullness of time, in seeing Ron DeSantis in real time, I really do think people needed to give him a little more backstory or something. I'm gonna say because that was that Friday or was it Monday when he said you start suspending people and you watch this crap go away, and he's right. I gotta say, I have not seen more positive Ron DeSantis mentions on the most liberal channels than this morning and this week, because his president of Florida University has said, we at FU are not a daycare. And that is, I mean, they should have just copied and pasted that at UCLA. Instead, they made the cops do it, which was a kind of a punk move. But, I mean, at least DeSantis said in another context, you know, you do this on our campuses, you will be suspended. And that
second, if it's students, American students, and they're violating code of conduct, you start expelling people, the behavior will change. Right now in higher education, particularly in those schools up there, the inmates run the asylum.
And how spot on was he? And that's the thing. When Columbia started saying that, imagine, and what it boils down to is, no matter how alternative and free thinking and smarter than you your Ivy League kid is, the phone call where they have to call home and say, airfare, and no, one way, I was kind of sort of suspended. They don't want that phone call. Because if you're wealthy enough that your kid's going to Columbia, you will fly them home. You'll send them a NetJet, Gulfstream 650. When they get off the plane and they tell you, well, I was suspended because I broke Alexander Hamilton's nose with a patchouli vape pen. Sorry, you're bad at life. You're not gonna stand out of the interviews with a face tat. So, I recall this one time that I was on a jury and I found a woman guilty. So I took myself off the jury and now my own son has a face tat. No, that didn't work.
Call a crackhead.
Yeah, totally. And I'm in a totally good mood.
I am in such a good mood today and I hate to raise this point, but I have to.
That's my inner 28-year-old airhead. Thank you so much for that. Back in a second. As we wrap up a pretty good practice Friday, there's some plays I'd leave out, and there's some I wish I'd put back in. The fentanyl head who was recognized in Portland in Rose Stadium. I mean, what's it called? Rose Arena, where the Jailblazers play. He had a wanted poster, and he thought, I bet you out of 28,000 people, only I know that there's a warrant out for me, and he sits behind the home bench. Well, he got busted, and he's killed some people with his fentanyl sales and stuff. So even in Oregon, the long arm of the law likes itself some basketball. Back in second AM, 770 KTTH.
You're just saying words.
AM 770 KTTH. I thought of several things when I read the headline. Surge in electricity demand poses a tricky path ahead for PNW Utilities, report shows. Gosh, if only we had a large clean energy nuclear power plant that we could draw from. Here's the lesson learned about thinking that you're going to just make the green switch. The surge in electricity demand just continues to grow every year with our surge in personal ownership of electrical items and stuff. And so the lesson learned is upgrade your infrastructure now or 10 years ago, or keep open a bare minimum of fossil fuel plants, such as your coal-fired plants, or else one day, one hot day in August, you're going to find yourself unable to generate electricity for the demand. And that's that. And that means the simplest, easiest thing to do is to allow private companies like, who owns one in Centralia? TransAlta. There's a lot of coal goes through Centralia. And you say to yourself, self, where's that going? And then when you're at Mukilteo, you see a lot of coal trains going up through Everett. And so there must be a coal plant up there. Says me. You know why? Because I'm a detective. And so if it's ugly CO2 is what you don't like, you know, it can be, there's a couple mitigators for coal. And why I'll defend coal is because I know a thing or two about a thing or two. One thing or two is that there's different grades of coal. The cheapest, most plentiful is bituminous coal. That's what you basically call soft coal. But it gets harder. But wait, the part of the reason America is so awesome is because of anthracite coal, what they call the hard coal. It burns really clean. It creates a lot of energy, a lot of BTUs, but it's cleaner than bituminous coal, which is pretty nasty. And and never mind what they say in Europe, it's dirty as hell. You come back, but people that have lived, Americans that grew up here and then lived in, say, Bosnia for a year, come back with a hacking cough for years. And it's because they have very little anthracite coal. And one of the things the Chinese love is that just across the Pacific from them is a state called Wyoming, and they can put their bituminous coal in an open box car and take it to Bellingham, if Bellingham would wise up, except that Vancouver lowballed them. Okay, so the Chinese have zero problem importing American coal. I have zero problem exporting it. Fine. The grossest thing is that the people on the highest horse are the Germans. And what's funny is last year they shut down their last nuclear power plant, and talk to any nuclear engineer, don't press the AZ5 button. And once you downgrade them, I mean, it takes nearly an act of Congress to get them back up to minimal generation. Because the Europeans, to this day, they will break ground and they will build a lignite power plant. Lignite, you say, what's that? That's the lowest grade of coal. It's not even coal yet. It's basically peat moss. Hey, been to Scotland? I didn't like it either. And part of it is because they cook with that crap. It just stinks. It burns so bad. But the Germans, because it's in the ground, they burn it. But that's the one thing that they realized after they shut down their last power plant. They're not so virtuous when they're freezing. And when Putin invades Ukraine, and then the U.S. Navy blows up Nord Stream 1. And the kids are freezing, and we're out of wool, and the whole thing. So the burning of lignite. Anyway, bottom line, this is not if you cut back on your energy generation, then that's the only way that electricity is a finite item in the Pacific Northwest, unless one year it just doesn't rain and then the entire snowpack goes away. But we have ample energy, but we just got to use it. I won't say no to building a nuke, neither is anyone else. I don't say no to coal, but I do know that you don't shut it down. And if people understood, you being the people, understood how precarious our infrastructure is. Part of the reason on that Thanksgiving Day substation terrorism thing, part of the reason everybody within 500 miles of Eatonville had no power was because the power load goes to the next substation, blows it up, the next, because they're all 60 years old. And that was the reveal that PSC didn't want, and the FBI and others, was that you do that in an old infrastructure like this, like in Western Washington. If you're going to be froggy and do that in Centralia or Portland or Enumclaw or Tacoma, that's going to be your effect. Thousands of people without power for days, if that's what you want. And their computers and their charging EVs. And so, anyway, that's a problem. I had it. You want your Pacific Northwest fun fact of the day, Greg?
I'm waiting.
Is it Mount C or Mount Si?
I've lived here my whole life.
It's Mount Yes.
Mount G. It's Cy, obviously.
You know who it was named after?
Cy Young, the award-winning pitcher in Major League Baseball. There's a famous award named after him and a mountain.
And how many did Tim Lincecum win? Like two in a row, right?
At least.
No, I know that's a very clever answer. That's why you're Stormy Tomlin. No, Josiah Gardner.
You made that up.
I did not. I forgot. He's buried in Carnation. He was a chap from Indiana, and he homesteaded out here in the Suquamish Valley, and he had an old timey cabin. We're talking like 1855, old timey cabin at the base of Mount Si. But at the time, it was Mount somebody named this damn thing, and he became a local legend. So much so old timey, he had to send his wife and kids back to Indiana. And he coupled up with a Suquamish woman. And at some point he did some good in his life or something, but they called him Uncle Si, short for Josiah. And they stuck his name out of the mountain and called it not Mount Uncle Si, but Mount Si. That's your verifiable Pacific Northwest fun fact for this Thursday.
Cool story, Hansel.
So there you go. And you may check that, by the way.
The Radio Hall of Fame had pulled in. Now they're pulling it without the tapes.
They're deleting all over micro SD cards.
We're going to ask you. You don't know what Royce Quad is part of UCLA? As a student, that's what we do. We walk around our school, bro.
You didn't fly in here.
Right. Did I?
And that's, my new podcast is Tell a Black Man How to Be a Black Man.
Do you work for UCLA? Because I know Jasmine Rush, the dean of students, would like to know why you're putting your hand in one of her students' faces.
That's great.
So we're going to have to get you identified, buddy. For harassing an African-American student at school. What, is the school a little too integrated for you? What, you trying to segregate? You trying to resegregate the school or something?
Do you know why we're here?
Look at these white liberals, bro. Look at these cosplayers. White liberals, white libs cosplaying as the oppressed.
Stop. It's their job to get the black man in line, into the liberal line, or you're going to have to get off the Democratic porch, sir. Didn't you see the sign? That is a particular breed of white man. The guy that tells other people how to be grievance monkeys on that, or grievance rangers. And I used to work right there with a guy that was his specialty. I've never had a problem. I own my car. I don't have warrants. I'm insured. I showed him my ID. No, you're supposed to be outraged that other people got claimed to be pulled from their car or whatever. Anyway, that's my new podcast, or the simple advice that will... something, I'm sure. But the real, I'm bearing the lead. 10th hour is it in the books online?
It's posted.
So, folks,
for mass consumption,
you have permission to tell this white man how to live and go to text app to 800-465-8770. And then you can...
I'm an African-American student from accessing a school. Nothing.
You can listen to today my takedown of today's raid and the Antifa people that are now Antifa Gaza or whatever they are now, as that happened live, and how the White House played it.
For harassing an African-American student at school. What, is the school a little too integrated for you? What, you trying to segregate? You trying to resegregate the school or something?
You know why we're here?
Look at these white liberals, bro. Look at these cosplayers. White liberals, white libs.
If I change one thing, it's going to be less of that tomorrow. Anyway, Real Friday tomorrow. Thanks for checking out Practice Friday here on your second. We'll see you tomorrow on the 3rd of May, 2024, AM 770 KTTH.
Wow, this has just been such a pleasure. I'm such a lucky boy.
I can't wait to go home.
Goodbye.